The left coalition finally hits a roadblock, and former Governor Dallas has thoughts on why. Senator Trudeau responds. I'm Cabin Fever, and this is The Weekly. Welcome back to the Not So Weekly. I'm hoping to make this a more regular thing again, but in the meantime, I'll at least try to get an episode together when the timing works out. I wanted to sit down originally with Senator Trudeau to discuss the recent shifts in momentum with the right wing starting to pick up steam again in spite of the collapse of the Pirates. In some discussions with my production team, we were able to get in touch with former Jefferson Governor Dallas, who had more than a few thoughts on why the left is starting to struggle, and why, in her view, there's no end to that struggle in sight. Josh pushed back on a lot of these suggestions, including some pretty personal ones, but the pair of interviews have given me a lot to think about as we head into the May midterms. As always, feel free to contact us if you have suggestions for who you'd like to see me to sit down with next, since listener feedback will get me back in studio quicker than anything else. With that, former Governor Dallas, and then Senator Josh Trudeau.
All right, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Oh, well, right now I'm just helping the Libertarian Republican Party do things internally if they ever need someone to run. I'm kind of there. I've been helping Draven someone. I think Draven has a really promising future. So yeah, I've just been helping them. Yeah, pretty much. Well, you see, whenever I was working more in the background to create this party with April, so the idea is, like, early on in my career, I was, and still am, mostly to this part, opposed to the existence of parties altogether. If we looked at, like, actual political history and we wanted, like, take a net positive and net harm, I'd probably say parties have created a net harm in almost any system they've ever been created in. All they do is drive conflict between actual, like, policy and rhetoric in a political sense. They are used to control people who join. Like, we can look at pre-2018 Democrats and Republicans, and the people who get high up in these parties aren't probably the most competent, but are the most likely to say yes to the people in charge. So I would say this party, as you like to call it, I'd more say call it a coalition, exists for those people who are ideologically opposed to the idea of parties existing. Which happens to be a couple people in the political landscape right now. And at the same time, it's just a single place where independents can meet and just, like, talk. So independents don't end up running against each other. Because before this existed, you kind of have to go out of your way to, like, meet with every independent who was, like, everywhere across the political spectrum. Or you'd have parties, like, basically strong-arming independents to only working with them. So it's basically a safety net. Like, how I had it set up in... I'm no longer really involved with it, was I didn't care if someone was a part of the independent coalition in any other party, right? If they wanted to do that, so be it, go ahead. So yeah, it's just a place for independents to form, talk about, like, policy, and just have a place where they can, like, actually meet. Pre-2018, there were actual state parties that were very similar in setup. I believe Colorado, and I may have my memory wrong, had an independent party. I know a couple states had actual independent parties that functioned the same way, just because you couldn't run as an independent, or you couldn't run as a viable choice as an independent. So that's kind of what this is here for. Yeah, I don't think like if the coalition falls apart, I'm not gonna be like that sad, honestly. It's more just a place for while it's around for all independents to come and like help and like talk about like where they're gonna run, so independents aren't fighting other independents since they were more so in the past, not as much now, just at a straight or a strict disadvantage. With the couple policy changes in recent history, that's less so the case. So half of the reason for the party being formed is kind of irrelevant. But like we could have never predicted that happening. Especially since we had the idea like way before the We the People and all that was going on. And we didn't really know what the outcome of all that would be. But yeah, so like I'm sure April will want to keep it alive because it's kind of like something they created and they really wanted to do. I think it's really good for political health for it to be around, just to have a place where for independents can coexist and be like relatively fine without having to have influence from other parties. But I, like as I was saying, if it falls apart, it falls apart. No, I listen. I want to give the take that no one else is going to give because they're all too afraid. The left is screwed. All right, all their good heavy hitters left. The rest of them, literally, no one cares about them. All right, the only people on the left right now that are like actually smart enough to lead people, I'd give to like Jeb, and that's like a very much so a maybe right there. Okay, and Viper. In fact, Viper is the only politician on the left right now that I'm confident can actually lead the left. Because listen, as someone who used to be over there, I can tell you they're all literally spineless sheep. They cannot think for themselves. Back whenever I was around, Epsilon, Rose, and like all these other people, like drunk kind of, the SDP kind of like, oh come on, we all know the SDP wasn't doing anything back in the day. They were just listening to what the GLP was saying. Oh, well, listen, I had oh, well, like yeah, as much as they will try to say like, oh no, the STP contributed a lot, I have to be honest, back whenever I was doing things, the STP was kind of just like sitting there listening and going along with what the GLP said. And you know why? It's because the GLP actually knows how to think sometimes. Now, can they recover? Probably. Will they? No. A lot of their good politicians left. The SDP is like the SDP. I mean, seriously, like what else is there to say about them? Drunk, it's like can you give me the names of those people in charge, off the top of your head? All right, so you don't know that one for sure. Okay, continue. Right, so let's go through these people one by one. First off, Martin doesn't deserve the position he has. It should have been Viper. All right. You know what? To be perfectly honest, I cannot name a like single important bill that Martin has produced. So like, how did he get in that position? I have no idea. Probably they literally just had no one else to put there. Steb is only governor because Ted resigned. Steb was a failed senator. Yeah, Steb is a failed senator, okay? Steb is a nobody. He may be in a position of power, but, like, you remember the stupid, like, sugar tax or whatever that was? The name, like, oh my goodness, I can't name a single good bill from Steb, all right? Drunk, I'm not gonna lie, Drunk's a pretty decent person, but Drunk also fucks up, like, every month or every other month, so loose cannon waiting to break right there. And Josh, oh, don't even get, Josh is a lot of things. But loyal, he is not. Competent, he is not. Like, I cannot think of a certain, like, a single thing that he did during the entire time that the Puerto Rican state was, like, in crisis that actually helped the state. In fact, while the SDP was in charge there, they lost entire records of the state, okay? This is, like, I admit, yes, they have people in power, which they probably always will, because they can just, like, keep throwing unqualified people in these positions to at least claw back some power they're losing. But to call these people competent or, like, actually good politicians, I think is a very long stretch. It will... that's because all the good GOP members left. That's unironically the answer. Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the GOP collapses in like 3 months, because the main people, the main policymakers that were keeping it together, that were like competent, in my opinion, have left. Sis, I think, could be cool, but he like just goes like nocturnal or vacant for a long time and then randomly shows up to sign bills and leaves again. Jeb, I think, is pretty cool, but I don't think Jeb can keep the party alive by himself. And the other people are like from the failed United Left and are a low-key kind of pocused, but they won't admit it because it's not politically viable. So yeah, a general accusation. They know who they are. Yeah, and not only that. Well, actually, it's the contrary. I think the Libertarian Republican is probably the best party in the political landscape right now, by far. All right? Because the SDP would be cool if I think they had actually, like, competent and well-meaning members that weren't like people who got lucky by happenstance. The GLP is full of like previous United leftists who like unironically think socialism and central planning is like a good idea, and then the Workers' Party is unironically just communist. So like, whew, I hope none of them ever get elected in positions as long as they're like unironic communists, because oh geez, we know where that led a couple years ago. But yeah, so the unironic, like, Libertarian Republican, as they're trying to, like, you know, go a little bit more socially conservative and be more big tent, as long as they're still allowing, you know, actual, like, sane people who believe in market forces and believe that markets are effective, they're probably going to, like, continue to grow and continue to be dominant. Because it really honestly takes just one person to know anything what they're talking about in socialism to, like, argue and debate one of these leftists who unironically believe in socialism to show just how goddamn stupid they are. Yes, first off, Josh is a sexist, alright? I know I talked about this on Twitter before, but honestly, can you imagine having an important, like, assembly to appoint someone And then having to ask the same questions multiple times over simply because he couldn't listen past the first sentence I replied with. Like, unironically disgusting. Not only that, and previous encounters with him, he has leaked private transcripts of people on, of big people in the former Libertarian Party, now Libertarian Republican Party. I wouldn't trust him in any party. The man isn't loyal. He used to be in the TLP before the TLP was formed, but then left solely because it was more politically viable to go join the SDP because they were going to go in position. I wouldn't be surprised if the SDP fails and he tries to go somewhere else. It's a miracle somehow that he is still politically viable in Puerto Rico, even though he's been like a common denominator for all the terrible things that has happened there. I have no idea why he's still in the state and why people still elect him. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I believe since I've heard a great deal of feedback from my constituents, I have been able to tailor my representation of them to fit their needs better and to ensure that I really am representing the people and not a party and not not the will of the governor or not the will of the president. I am representing indeed the Puerto Rican people. And just to further that, I believe that these missteps, and as many would say, experience breeds tailored skills. And with this experience, I've been able to tailor my staff, as well as those who I work with closely, to ensure that we are avoiding any further missteps, miscalculations, and ensuring that we are ready for anything that should encounter us. I don't find it concerning at the current moment. I am a member of the Left Coalition caucus leaders as President Pro Tempore, and I also part of the SDP leadership. And at the current moment, the general atmosphere in the Left Coalition, and indeed high members of the Left Coalition, is positive. And we don't see a reason to be concerned at the current moment, though. I do have to credit President Bo on his cooperation with the Left Coalition. It's a wonderful increase in cooperation from the Sandoval administration prior. I do have to say it's a little interesting having Vice President Ian remain in the Senate caucus, remain in the Senate floor rather, and hold the gavel for such a long time, but I digress. Maybe I'm a little envious of the gavel there. I'm glad to see the libertarians upholding their values set by the previous libertarian members. I do have to say that President Bo has been cooperating with us greatly, and I look forward to continue to cooperate with him to the end of the session. Yeah, that's fine. I do have to say, Governor Dallas has also herself not been in federal or state politics in quite a while. She's been pretty obscure from the scene. And so during her time in the Left Coalition, she never saw behind the doors what the politicians are seeing, not what the public's seeing, but she's never seen what the politicians in the Left Coalition are seeing, given the fact that she has never been in the Left Coalition during the time of myself, during the time of Speaker Walks. And so I do have to say that a lot of the leadership, a lot of the actions taken by leadership, it's not in the public eye. And most of our decisions are private conversations and private conversations with the politicians and members of our caucus. And so I do have to say that Speaker Walks, in my opinion, has done a fantastic job with maintaining close connections with all the members of our caucus. Senate Majority Leader Jeb is another great example of ensuring that all members of the Senate caucus, including myself, and I'm very, I believe he's continued, in fact, much of the success that Senator Epsilon, Senate Majority Leader Epsilon, had during his time, which is good to see. It's always good to see that newer members are taking the advice and the progress that older members have had and continuing to extend that success. But yeah, I have nothing else to say on that other than the public doesn't see what we are doing behind closed doors, but we are indeed ensuring that the job of representing the people is completed and diligently completed, and ensuring that we are representing our constituents who have voted for us in the best possible way. Yeah. No, I would again say that that is another closed door sort of thing. It may look that way in the public eye, but it certainly is not that in behind the scenes. Certainly, the directorship of Governor Drunk and now the governorship of Governor Stebb have benefited the SDP greatly. It's certainly they're continuing the great leadership, the fine leadership that was under Speaker Hale. And I believe that, you know, given the fact that the SDP does hold a lot of leadership positions, it used to hold the majority leader position earlier this session. We hold the President Pro Tempore currently, that's myself. And we hold the speakership in Speaker Walks. We also hold two out of the three left governors in Governor Drunk and Governor Stebb. So I do have to say that we are carving our way forward, and it is certainly not at the certainly not just following along, so to speak, with the GLP. I do remember answering this in a recent debate that I had with her for re-election to PR Assembly. And yeah, I'd gladly and happily clarify myself. I do, if it is the situation she's referring to, I do remember which one she referred to earlier. Yeah, it was her Secretary of State hearing. Yeah, so during her Secretary of State hearing, I did ask her quite a few questions, one of which I did not feel that I had a suffice answer of. And so I reiterated my answer in a question in a different form, and asking specifically where what I wanted answered. And she then again gave a half sort of question, or half sort of answer rather to it, and not direct answering, just floating around my question basically. And so at that point, I did not ask her the question again. I did make sure that it was only asked twice because I did have other questions to get to. However, I believe the narrative of that being that in somehow being conducive, alluding to sexist behavior, I believe that's no way representing what that situation was. Indeed, prior, even post 2018 politicians, and the prior 2018 politicians, we have a duty to ensure that the questions we ask that involve our constituents and that our constituents need answered. We have a duty to make sure that they are answered. And if we don't feel comfortable with that answer, I don't believe if I asked a follow-up question, or if I asked a question that was to get deeper into the situation and to get straight to the answer that I'm trying to get, I don't believe that is in any way sexist or alluding to sexism by the part of the questioner. It is showing displaying a determined attitude by the questioner to ensure that his question and his concerns are addressed by the respondent. And so all I have to say is I was doing my job in that, but in ensuring that the questions that my constituents have, that Puerto Rican people have, were addressed, especially for such a high-level position as Secretary of State, right? That is essentially our lieutenant governor for Puerto Rico, and is a very important role. So we have to make sure that the people who serve in that position are highly vetted and are able to serve Puerto Rico diligently and properly. So that's all I have to say on that issue. But I'm glad she brought it up. I do remember addressing it prior, but not at the current time. I just like to say that I hope the American people entrust the Left Coalition, the GLP, the SDP, the WP, with their vote again this upcoming election. We have done magnificent things during our time. If many of you keep note of the Senate, you will see that my Senate resolution, which ensures the democracy of Hong Kong, recently passed, despite libertarian opposition, which was interesting to see libertarian opposition to democracy. But I digress. I hope that, I hope that people will see that the things that we are doing, the job that we are doing, the bills, acts, the tours of cities and of our constituents and making sure that we are listening to their issues, I believe that the American people will be able to see that we are the best suited to ensure that America continues on an upward stream and to make sure that we remain a dominant force in the world. I hope that they will re-elect us to continue the job. Thank you.
Thank you again to my guests for quite the provocative set of interviews. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to get the latest episodes delivered straight to your podcast feed. The Weekly is a public record podcast.